good morning, and thank you for listening to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday, which were led by guest pastor Reverend Lena Eddy. We also would invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday in person at our church at 101 North Oak. That's the church with the clock in the steeple. We get together for worship at 10:30. Our Sunday school is at 9:30. And our sister church, Salem, out on Highway K, has services at 8:30. We are looking forward to another guest pastor this morning, Reverend Ken Mathis. Many of us know Ken. He is a retired pastor who preached at Main Street Baptist Church here for a number of years, and we certainly appreciate him coming to lead our worship this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing him. If you joined us, that would be great. Again, thanks for listening.
As we begin with our call to worship, come seekers in the night and wanderers in the shadows. Come, you who are born of the Spirit. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. Let's worship God like in life. Join us in singing Spirit of the Living God. Join me in the prayer of the day. Holy God, you meet us in our questions and in our doubts. You come to us in the quiet of night and the brightness of day. Breathe your Spirit upon us. Open our hearts warm and in Christ's name. Amen.
Annie Roll leads our children's time.
What is this? Okay, what do you do with a backpack? What?
Take it to school.
Take it to school. Okay, what else? You carry your stuff in it. Okay, does anybody ever go on like car trips? Okay, so do you all pack a backpack full of like snacks and maybe a little neck pillow? Okay. So you got snacks and all that good stuff. So life with God is like going on a journey. The Bible talks about walking with God and trusting him wherever we go. Sometimes on a trip, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So if we don't know what's going to happen, like what's at the end of the road, or if we turn left or we turn right, who do we count on or who do we look to whenever we're going on a trip?
God.
Well, somebody else besides God. Like if you're in the car and you guys are going, okay. So say, who? The driver, thank you. So like say you're going to Kansas to see your grandma and grandpa. Who's driving?
Dad.
Do you trust a dad knows where he's going? No. Sorry, Patrick. Throw him right under the bus. Okay, well, oh goodness, okay. So sometimes on the trip, even the driver might not know where they're going. But we know, we don't know how long it's going to take or whatnot. But the Bible tells us about a man named Abram. God told Abraham, to go on a journey to a land, new land. Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going, but he trusted God and followed him. So maybe that's what Dad does. He just knows that God's going to let him get where he's going. You think that's right? No. Okay. That's what faith is. Trusting God when we don't know everything that's going to happen. If we were packing a backpack for a faith of journey, what are some things we might put in our... So act like this is faith. What are we going to put in it? Go ahead.
Candy.
Okay. What else?
Snacks.
Snacks, okay. Hold on.
Pillows.
Okay. What about for faith? Go ahead.
A water bottle.
Okay. Talking about whenever we're going on a faith with God. So we're going to take some prayer, okay, because we're going to talk to God. The Bible, because we're going to learn what God has to say. Love and kindness, because we're going to treat others the way Jesus would like us to. And trust in Jesus that he knows where we're going and that we will walk with him. And the best part of the journey is we're never alone. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for walking with us on a journey of faith. Help us trust you, follow you, and share your love wherever you go. Amen.
Our senior choir sings, "People Need the Lord."
Every day they pass me by.
Brad Frederick reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Eddie's sermon, A Journey of Faith.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Gracious and holy God, as your word is read and proclaimed, shine your light upon us. In our questions, meet us with truth. In our doubts, meet us with grace. In our weariness, breathe into us your spirit. Open our hearts to be born from above, so that we may not only hear your word, but receive it, trust it, and walk in its light. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. First scripture lesson is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Second lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can this be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you did not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Here ends the reading.
It was the dead of winter, and it was cold, kind of how it was this morning at some early morning. It was below 32, and that seems cold to me. And this woman went out to her garden, and the plants there were bent over, and they were dead because it was winter time, and the soil was dried up, and there was nothing that was alive because the harvest was over. And every day she would walk to her garden, and she would look at it, and her neighbor would come out, and her neighbor would go over to her, and she would say, "Why do you keep looking at this garden? There's nothing there. There's nothing that's going to grow. Why do you keep doing this?" And the woman says, "Because I want to." And the neighbor said, "You know something? You're wasting your time." And she walked back to her house. And the lady just kept coming to the garden and looking at it. And one more day, the lady came over and said, "Look, the ground is dead and nothing is going on with these plants and nothing is going to grow." And the woman looking at her garden, this what she thought was a beautiful garden, said, "You know, I know something that you don't know. I know what's underneath this garden." And the lady said, "Huh." And she walked away and she went back into her home. And the lady just sat there and she looked at her garden and she knew there was something there. A few weeks later, when it was just a little warmer out, she walked to her garden and there was this one straggly little green thing coming up out of the ground. Well, it was the ugliest looking thing that came out of the ground, and it was the most fragile little green thing that came out of the ground. And she smiled. It was alive. And it was real. And it was in her garden. And it was real. See, she knew underneath that ground there were bulbs that were planted, and she knew that there were roots that were still alive in the garden underneath the ground that was dead and dry. And she had hoped that the roots that were there were still going to be alive when the sun beat the warmness on the ground. And as the days went on, some more plants came up, not as straggly, but they came up and they became alive, and the garden started to come alive again. Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus this same story. Nicodemus didn't quite understand. There was stuff going on underneath the ground. There was stuff going on underneath that we do not have knowledge of, but we have to believe that it is happening. Because the Spirit is going on underneath. And the Holy Spirit does marvelous things. That when we are ready to hear and understand and listen and believe, it is shown to us. And we are able to believe it then. Nicodemus was a very interesting man. He was a Pharisee in the Jewish tradition. He was a person that really had no business sneaking off to see Jesus. And if he was caught, he would have had a lot to answer to. Part of the reason he snuck off in the dark was because he had no business going out to see a Jewish man asking him about faith questions, asking him about how to reflect and how to repent and how to be renewed in our faith. And they're the questions that Nicodemus was asking. And Jesus just took it back and said, you answer these, you are the teacher. You know the answer to all these. But he wanted to know, how do you become born again? Well, Nicodemus couldn't get out of his mindset, the physical mindset. How do you be born again? Do you go to your mother and say, I want to pop back up there? That's not going to happen. Jesus reminds us of our baptism, loud and clear. No, he says, no, it's not the physical that we're talking about. Jesus clearly stops that thought. Jesus clearly says, it is by water and the Spirit. The water of baptism, the water that we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The water that clearly shows us that we are part of the family, that we are part of the body of Christ, that we are a part of whatever church we are baptized in. Baptism brings us to become a child of God. He was reminding Nicodemus, a teacher, of his baptism. And the Spirit. Once again, we are reminded, once again, Nicodemus is reminded of the Spirit. That thing that's working underneath all that we're doing and all that we're seeing and all that we're saying. Amazing things are happening underneath. Amazing things are going on underneath that we might not know and might not see, but they are going on. Nicodemus is learning. Nicodemus is getting bolder as he grows. Nicodemus is boldly getting out of the darkness. Because he starts coming to Jesus more and more in the din, where the light is starting to shine. He shows up at the crucifixion. And he shows up with Joseph of Arimathea on Good Friday, when Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he asks to take the body down. And he asks with Joseph to bury Jesus in the tomb. In the daylight, Nicodemus is learning. Nicodemus is in the daylight doing this. Nicodemus has learned that the darkness is not necessarily the best place to be, that we need the light. So the question is, and the question we all have to answer during this Lenten season is, do we want to stay in the darkness? Do we want to keep those questions that we have in those dark places in our lives? Do we want to keep them, or do we want to bring them out in the light and get rid of them? That's what this Lenten journey is about. Do we want a clean house? Do we want to let go of all those things that we keep sweeping under the carpet? Do we want to let go of all those things that we don't need to keep anymore? And if we do, here's how you do it, guys. You find a quiet spot. Not with hubby, not with wife, not with kids, but a quiet space where you can think about what's going on. Write it down on a paper if you want, but let it sit at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Just leave it. And know that if you leave it there, you will leave it. You will leave with freedom in your heart. And you know what will happen? You will go from Friday to Sunday. You see, Lent teaches us that there is Friday. There is a good Friday. But letting go, we learn that there is Easter. There is the Sunday. I had a wonderful sociology professor. His name was Tony Campolo. And we used to call him the spitting Italian. Because when he got really, really excited, we would all sit three rows away from him. Because all he would do is spit everything. He would just get so excited. And he used to take us on some of his teaching, some of his preaching tours. And one time he took us to a youth gathering, and the church was full, and we couldn't understand it. He had a church this size, full of teenagers. And he was 60 years old at the time. What is this man doing that he's got this many kids in a church? And he told them, he reminded them that what we have now is good, but Easter is better. That we have to go through the dark times in our lives. We have to go through the difficulties in our lives to make it through to Sunday. So I'm suggesting to you that we have to go through the Good Fridays, just like Nicodemus. We have to go through Friday to get to Sunday. We have to get through Friday to get to Sunday. We are at Friday. Deal with the Fridays in your lives so you can enjoy the resurrection of Sunday. Amen. Please join me in singing Just As I Am. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.